Where in the world does sin come from? An egotist, just for a short definition for you to help you get started on where we're going, an egotist is a man who thinks as much of himself as you think of yourself. Most people are quite happy to suffer in silence if they are sure everyone knows they are doing it. Both of those points touch on pride and vanity that we all seem to be plagued with. Why do we have it? Why does it haunt us? None of us want to be that way. None of us want to be vain, egotistical. Nobody likes somebody like that. And yet all of us have pride in one form or another. Some of us are a lot more clever about how it seeps out of us. Some of us are pretty bold and just let it show. But we all deal with it, and we all hate it, and we all wish we didn't have it. But here's another question for you I'd like to answer. Why does God hate pride? Why does God hate pride? Turn with me to Isaiah 14. I think it's a very personal issue with God. The most beautiful being ever made by God turned on him. And right here you can see where it all began. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Satan weakened the nations. How? To a large degree, through pride. You can see that in what's going on in the Middle East, in what's going on in Russia, and what's going on in our country. Pride leads people to trouble. Verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, or the angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be the most high. That's about as vain as you can get. But if you think about it, when we act prideful, we're doing the same thing. We're telling God, I don't need you for this. I'm a big boy. I can handle it all myself. I'm just as good as you are with this problem. I know just what to do. Pride, brethren, is our enemy, and it will destroy us if we're not careful. So why does God hate pride? Letter A. Make that letter A in your notes. Why does God hate pride? Reason one. Pride is at the core of all sin. Pride is at the core of all sin. Orson Welles is credited with saying, good breeding consists of concealing how much we think of ourselves and how little we think of others. Kind of crass statement, but you know, when you think about it, we really do love ourselves. We really do think pretty highly of ourselves. But notice what Satan was doing here in Isaiah 14. He thought he was pretty good too. He could see how beautiful he was, the most powerful angel God had created, special in God's eyes. And he allowed vanity to enter his mind. God saw it happen. God watched as Lucifer deceived himself, as Lucifer brought himself down. God saw the whole thing. He watched as Satan tried to bring other angels with him. And God watched. And Satan became so clever, he thought he was hiding it all from God, and God didn't know what was going on. And he attacked God, tried to go to heaven and take over. And Christ says, I think it's in Matthew, but maybe not, that he saw Satan fall from heaven to earth. And how was that pictured? Like a bolt of lightning. That was probably the most terrible war we've ever had, and probably the most shortest war that has ever taken place. It was over before Satan could blink. He had never seen God use that kind of power before. He'd never seen God react like that. And he had quite the shock. But God will not tolerate sin. God will not tolerate vanity. And he confined Satan to earth. And then he created man on earth. Would have been nice if we were created on Pluto or something, but we were right there with Satan. The things God does to make sure that he could have a family that loved him and loved his way of life as much as he loves it. Let's turn to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 in verse 16. I think this is the boldest statement in the Bible, as far as I can, the way it hits me. These six things the Eternal hates. He doesn't beat around the bush. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Two of the strongest words I think there are in the Bible. And what is the first thing he hates? And what is the first thing that's an abomination to him? Verse 17, a proud look. Somebody who is vain. Somebody who is impressed with himself. God hates it because he saw what it did to Satan, to his beloved Lucifer. And it's sad. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Eternal is to hate evil, to hate pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. You know the perverse mouth? The mouth that Satan used to try to deceive other angels and to bring them with him. He watched over, I don't know how many years, maybe it was millions, as Satan talked to each angel and tried to turn them against God and questioned God's actions. Do we ever do that, brethren, here in the congregation, about somebody else? Just snip away a little bit. You know, when we do that, even if it's by accident, we're talking about a family member, a brother or a sister, that God tells us to love with all our heart, and that God loves and has plans for. And God doesn't want us hurting each other. He doesn't want us bringing each other down. We are to lift each other up and to help each other on our walk with God towards eternity. Proverbs 16:5. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the eternal. That's a very strong word. And to see God's reaction to this prideful outlook is pretty sobering for me, because I have to deal with vanity. I don't know why. I'm fat, bald, and retired. What do I have to be? What in the world do I have to be vain about? But I can come up with something. Just give me a few minutes. Oh, my. I want to give you a definition of pride that I heard in one of Mr. Pennelly's sermons years ago. He said, pride is when sinful human beings aspire to the status and position of God and refuse to acknowledge their dependence upon Him. When sinful human beings aspire to the status and the position of God, and refuse to acknowledge their dependence on Him, it is nothing more than a prideful act. It is contending for supremacy with God. Pride takes innumerable forms with only one end: self-glorification. That motive and the ultimate purpose of pride are to rob God of legitimate glory that only He deserves, and to pursue self-glorification, contending for supremacy with God. The proud person seeks to glorify himself and not God, thereby attempting, in effect, to deprive God of something only He is worthy to receive, and only He can handle. I thought that was pretty insightful, and I wanted to share it with you. We can't handle thinking well of ourselves in that way. We are not to put ourselves down. We are not to belittle ourselves. We are a child of God. But we are always to remember our place with God. He is our protector, our provider. He led us to repentance. He gave us a humble heart. He gave us His Spirit. He helps us. He heals us. He watches over us. Because He loves us. Each and every one of us. He loves us. With all His heart. With all His being. He was willing to sacrifice the most precious thing He had so that we could attain the level of existence that He has. Perfection. Perfection in thought, in deed, in action. Always doing the right thing. Wouldn't that be nice? You try to write a nice note to somebody and you wonder, boy, I wonder if I said the right thing. I wonder if I said it in the way that will be helpful. And we're never not, well, at least me, I'm never quite sure if I did it right. And it gives me pause at times. Now here's an important statement, and don't forget it. The process of taking glory to ourselves damages our relationship with God. The process of taking glory to ourselves damages our relationship with God, and it perverts it. We have to be watchful, brethren. When the eye becomes dominant, the spiritual eye sees the entire world in a distorted way. Because we're seeing things as, I'm okay. I can do things. I'm just as good as God in doing this. And we aren't. we never will be until he perfects us. Solomon Schimmel wrote a book entitled The Seven Deadly Sins. He said that pride or arrogance, exaggerating our worth and power and feeling superior to others, has been recognized since ancient times as a root cause of cruelty and evil. He said, pride is unique among the seven deadly sins in that we are frequently unaware of our arrogance. Pride is a sin, brethren, that we cannot always see in ourselves. And that makes it very, very dangerous. We tend to know when we've overeaten. We tend to know when we've lost our temper. We know when we've hurt somebody. But when our pride is pointed out to us, we often do not even admit that they're right. It's because of this that it is difficult for us to admit that we are of less worth than we imagined ourselves to be. We want to be important. We want to be valuable. And sometimes we want that so badly that we are willing to seek it out and to look for it in a way that's harmful to ourselves and many times to others around us. We forget, brethren, that we are already important to God. And if we're important to God, what difference does it make about anything else? If we know that God loves us, if we know that God cares about us, if we know that God is going to help us with everything, we don't need pride to boost ourselves up, to lift ourselves up. God wants us to humble ourselves so that he can lift us up. If he lifts us up, then it's being done in a godly way. If we lift ourselves up, we always end up hurting others and deceiving ourselves. Charles Spurgeon is quoted as saying, when you know you've got humility, you've lost it. Humility is to make a right estimate of oneself. And that's not always easy to do. It's easy to say, well, yeah, I'm humble. I don't seek out glory for myself. But then there's little things that we do that show that we do want to be respected. We do want to be looked up to. We do want to be important. We do want to be known for something good. But brethren, that's not the way to do it. We have to humble ourselves and give our heart to God. Give our passion to God. The things that we want to accomplish, we need to give to God. It may not be what God wants for us. Because remember, right now, God is recreating each of us. Not recreating. He's creating a spiritual being for each of us. We will be perfect when we're resurrected into a being that God has created. And he will remove every thought that isn't right. We're trying to do that now, but we can't do it completely. God will finish it. So reason number A, letter A, where did it go, is pride is at the core of all sin. Reason two for why God hates pride. Pride deceives us. We can't fight something we don't know we have. And we get in that glitch, and we get hung up with that. We're stuck. We don't think we're prideful. We know we're not. I don't have anything to be prideful of. But I am. Let's turn to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 2. This should help us a little bit. When pride comes, then comes shame. Because you see, when we become prideful, other people can see it. Other people can see that we're on one of our trips. And they watch as we make a fool of ourselves. And sooner or later, we come back down to earth when our bubble is popped. With the humble is wisdom. With pride is shame. With humility is wisdom. What a beautiful, beautiful. Well, I want to say it. Comparing the two together is just, it's so stark. It just jumps out at you. With pride comes shame. With humility comes wisdom. Just a beautiful, beautiful statement. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. This is another problem we have when we're prideful. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When we're in the middle of one of our vanity attacks, we're not humble. And we don't think anything will happen to us because we are just that good. But sooner or later, God brings us down. Hopefully, we can admit what has happened, and hopefully we can repent. But we have to be able to see the pride. We have to be able to identify it amongst ourselves. Muhammad Ali was in his prime. And as he was about to take off on an airplane flight, the stewardess reminded him to fasten his seatbelt. He came back brashly, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The stewardess quickly came back, "Superman don't need no airplane either." So Ali fastened his seatbelt. But see how silly we can look when we let it come out. Oh my. 2 Chronicles 26. My, I can't get there. It is 26. This is the in this chapter, Uzziah was reigning over Judah. He was a good king in the beginning. He was used by God to do a lot of things. He was a humble king when he started out. But then we get over here to verse 16. But when Uzziah was strong, look what happened. His heart was lifted up. To his destruction, for he transgressed against the Eternal, his God, by entering the temple of the Eternal to burn incense on the altar of incense. He was forbidden to do that. But in a moment of vanity, after all these victories he'd had over other kings and other fights, out of knowing the love that God had for him, he became vain. And he thought he was just good enough to be able to go to the altar and offer incense. And God didn't like that. And he paid a terrible price. Pride will destroy us, brethren, if we let it. Pride is deceptive because it blinds us to our faults. Reason number three why God hates pride, the reason God hates pride is point A, and this is number three under it. Pride undermines unity. And God wants us to be united. We are His children, His beloved, that He did everything for. And He wants us to always remember that. And as we think of that, it should humble us. Proverbs 13. I made a few adjustments in my notes, so I got some scribbles here. I got to be careful to follow the right scribble. Verse 10, Proverbs 13. By pride comes only contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. When you become prideful, you become miserable. And people don't want to be around you because it's not a fun experience to be put down by someone else because they think they're better than you are. And that happens from time to time, unfortunately. God is actively opposed to pride. His hatred for pride is pure and honest because he watched it happen to Lucifer. He watched as he deceived himself, perverted himself, and took a third of God's created angels with him to rebel against God. I don't know how many millions of years it took to get to that point, but when he attacked God, it was over in the split second. Millions of years of work, and God ended it. I used to be able to clip my fingers, but it doesn't work anymore. Click. God doesn't mess around, and it's very serious that we stay away and fight pride. Number four. Pride destroys. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You can't describe pride any better than that. It's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Because, brethren, their days are numbered. Their days are numbered. You can't be that way and get away with it forever. Reason number five why God hates pride. When we become prideful, we become an adversary of God. And none of us want that. None of us want to appear to be against God. But that's how much God hates pride. Pride destroys. And he doesn't want us to be destroyed. He wants us, brethren, to be his beautiful children, humble, full of wisdom, full of mercy, wanting to serve and to give to one another. And you can't have pride and live that way of life. It catches up with you. James 4, verse 6. James 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You don't want God resisting you. You don't want to be on the wrong side of God. But pride will do that to you. We can't allow it, brethren. It's very serious. Okay, point A was why God hates pride. Point B, what was Christ's view of his relationship with his Father? This might help us, brethren, if we look at this closely. Let's turn to John chapter 5. John 5, verse 19. The Jews, in verse 18, sought the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Notice what Christ responds to them with. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. No pride there. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Satan lived his life mimicking God the Father. He lived like God lives in heaven. He didn't say he was king of the earth. He didn't say that he was going to rule all you guys someday. He said, he obeyed the Father. He followed the Father. Notice the humility there. Notice how humble he was. Notice how he took his relationship to be. This is also God in human form. And he thought that he had to follow God, that he didn't have the ability as a human to do the right thing and to think it up in his head. He had to see what God said, and he did what God said. And that's what we have to do. These are God's words. If we don't have our nose in that book, and if it doesn't become familiar with us, and we don't understand what God is teaching in this book, we're heading for trouble. Notice verse 30. From God the Father to God the Son. And he said, I can of myself do nothing. He was saying to the apostles and those that were listening, of my own self, I can't do anything of value. Oh, I might be able to build a house. I might be able to, but that's human. That's physical. I'm physical. And the things that are worthwhile are spiritual. And as a human, I can't do anything of value apart from God. As I hear, I judge. What is he hearing? God speaking to him. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. God, Jesus Christ, knew that what he was doing was right because he followed God the Father. And we can do that through this book. We too can follow God. We too can obey him. And we too can do the right thing by humbling ourselves and submitting to God. John 8, verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things." He didn't stray from what God taught him. "And He who sent me is with me." He could feel God. God was with him all the time. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Wouldn't it be nice if we could say that, brethren, that we always please God with our mouth, with our actions, with our thoughts? Sadly, it isn't the case. Hopefully that gives you something to think about as to why God the Father was pleased with Jesus Christ and why God the Father hates pride. It destroys us. Point C, how do we deal with pride? How do we as humans deal with pride? Ezekiel 28:17 says, "Your heart was lifted up. It was expanded. It was bloated. It was like a balloon with a lot of hot air. And because of your beauty, you become vain." What do we do with those feelings? What do we do with those views? How do we control them? How do we get rid of them? Sometimes if we just ask some questions, I think it helps. Whatever you look like, did you make yourself look like you look? There's some minor adjustments we can make, but we're kind of stuck with what we have. We did not make ourselves. We did not give ourselves the talents we have. We did not give ourselves the emotions we have. God created us. God watches over us. Let's turn to a key verse that I like when I'm fighting pride, which I should do more often than I do. Revelation 14, verse 6. "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and people." And this is what this angel is saying in verse 7. "Saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the seas and springs of water." So right there are three points that can help you deal with pride. Point one, fear God. Point two, give God glory. And point three, worship God. Three simple points, but if you'll concentrate on them, meditate on them, fast about them, it will draw you near to God and away from vanity. You can't dwell on those points. fearing God, respecting God. You can't be vain and respect God. They don't go together. Glorifying God. When you're glorifying God, you're honoring His existence, His presence. You're telling Him how great He is and how little we are. The vain person can't even do that. And when you worship Him, it humbles you just to do that. How to rid yourself of pride or to have the proper relationship with others. Let's turn to Romans 12:10. Romans 12. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, putting others above yourself, honoring others above yourself. And verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he should, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What a beautiful verse, brethren. God tells us outright, don't think yourself more highly than you should, because it's the path to destruction. Brethren, God loves us with all His being, and He knows the dangers that lie ahead of us if we become prideful. It takes us directly away from God, and in the end, we become an enemy of God, just like Satan. Satan hates God and hates each and every one of us. Let's look at Psalm 138:6 in closing. Psalm 138:6. My, there it is. Though the eternal is on high, yet he regards the lowly. And here's a scary one. But the proud he knows from afar. He doesn't hang out with them. He doesn't associate with them. Because nothing can happen. When we're prideful, we don't listen. When we're prideful, we think we don't need anybody else. When we're prideful, we're just downright ugly. And that is not what God wants for us. Remember, the meek shall inherit the earth, the lowly. Everything we want when we start being prideful, God freely wants to give us if we will humble ourselves and show God that we love Him and His way of life, the way of loving others, of putting others first. If we will do that, if we will forsake the glory of this life, if we will forsake the vanity of this life, God will give us everything and more than what we think we want, because He loves us and wants to share everything with us. What a beautiful future we have, brethren, if we can be humble and be submissive and surrender our life to the eternal God who wants so very much to love us and to take care of us. Psalm 31, verse 19. I believe this is my last scripture. Psalm 31, 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who respect you, those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. A verse, brethren, that puts away vanity. So today we ask the question, why does God hate pride? A, pride is at the core of all sin. B, pride deceives us. C, pride undermines unity. D, pride destroys. And E, when we become prideful, we become an adversary to God. Then we talked about removing pride. Fear God, give him glory, and worship him. And then we talked about a proper relationship with man and God using Romans 12:10 and Romans 12:3. Give honor to others and do not think more highly of yourself than you should. So, brethren, God has a plan and a way for us to be humble and to be the children that he loves. All we have to do is obey him, believe him, and follow him with all our heart. Take care, my dear ones. I love you all.